We spend a lot of time sharing meals together. Birthday celebrations, graduations, wedding, and many other special occasions are marked by sharing meals together. I have friends that have been sharing meals over Zoom calls because eating together is something that collectively we treasure. And so our plan from now until Easter is that we're going to journey through the Gospel of Luke, moving from table to table with Jesus. We're going to spend time at 7 of the 9 meals in Luke, and it's important to note that of these 7 meals, 3 are at the homes of these Pharisees. Yep, you know, those same guys that plot later on to kill Jesus. Kind of awkward, right? But these Pharisees were religious teachers of the law, and they were very strict in their observance of it. Their name meant set apart, and they were so strict about it that they were longing to do God's work. They would add rules on top of rules to ensure that they didn't step out of line or out of favor with God. And while this group gets a bad rap in the Gospels, let's keep in mind that they were often trying to practice their faith from a good place. But a side effect of piling on some 613 laws onto the backs of people was that it set these religious teachers apart in the worst kind of way, which we'll see in a little bit. Nevertheless, as we encounter the characters in our stories throughout the next few weeks, we're going to assume grace, just as Jesus does, when all these people pull up a chair to the common table that we're all sharing. And so let's not fault the Pharisee for their legalism or the woman in our story for the decisions of her past. None of these things take away from their sacred worth or our need for grace. This includes you and me. This isn't just their story. It's our story that we are enfolded into. And as we reflect today, we're going to see the life-changing potential of checking our pride, naming our brokenness, and claiming our freedom in what Jesus has to offer. So we're going to jump right in. And just some backstory, Jesus has been kind of causing a stir throughout the land for many who took note of what he had been doing, including this woman of the town and another rabbi named Simon, who was curious enough about Jesus to invite him to his home. But Jesus was kind of keeping Simon was kind of keeping Jesus at arm's length, and this standoffish attitude doesn't become crystal clear until this woman enters the scene and begins to treat Jesus as royalty. Then we come to see that Simon didn't greet Jesus with a kiss, or like our kind of equivalent would be a bro hug or something like that. After this woman cares for Jesus as an honored guest, Simon has some feelings, and Jesus sees the message written all over Simon's face. It's like he was saying, if this guy was really the Messiah, he would know what a notorious sinner this woman is. Simon is stuck seeing this woman for what she has done and not who she is. This is similar to this passage coming from the 18th chapter of Luke, and I want to read it for you now. It's from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus told this parable to certain people who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and looked on everyone else with disgust. Jesus says, two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words, God, I thank you that I am not like everyone else, crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I give 1/10 of what I receive, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes towards heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, God, show mercy to me, a sinner. I tell you, this person went to his home justified rather than the tax collector. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. It's a powerful parable, but notice who Jesus is talking to. Those who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Friends, The pride of Simon showed during this uncomfortable dinner meeting builds walls. Pride builds walls and sets us apart from even the one who offers life. When we close our hearts and minds, it does protect in some ways, but it also doesn't let the good and surprising things in either. So how are you like Simon, walling off by thinking that you're better than someone else, or maybe that you're more deserving than God's favor for the people that got a promotion at work or something like that? We're all guilty of this kind of pride. But the hope is that we're able to name it and humble ourselves, which leads us to the second portion of the story, where this no good sinner teaches us the value of naming and sitting with our brokenness. Now, there is no doubt that this woman had some things that she wasn't proud of in her life, and it sounds like the community wouldn't let her forget it even if she tried. But this woman comes to Jesus. She washes her feet with her tears because there's no basin that was made available to him as he enters into the home of Simon. And she anoints him with a fine perfume, when Simon didn't even offer a stick of deodorant or at least a few spritzes of Axe body spray. And why? Why would she be willing to get her hair nasty and give this costly gift that was about a year's salary? Because she knew her brokenness. She sat with the weight of her life decisions. They followed her daily. And she also knew that this rabbi was different, and he was offering something more valuable than anything she could offer back to him. And after this encounter, Jesus tells this other parable about two debtors, and we are to infer that she is the one with the greater debt. But let us not forget that Simon had debt too. We all do. This woman was just able to understand the implications of that debt erased more fully than others because she faced her brokenness. She sat with it daily. Whereas Simon had the privilege of hiding his brokenness. He could cover it up by pointing out the laws that he had followed or how he was a good and respected person. But his need for reconciliation was just as large as this woman. Jesus saw this woman for who she was and forgave her. And she was free from the chains of sin. This third portion of our scripture encourages us to know that forgiveness is open to each and every one of us, and that claiming this freedom leads to a life of hope here and now, not just in the future. And so this woman took the burden of her sin off because God had forgiven her. She could now leave this place with the peace of knowing that her past didn't define her and her future was hopeful. On this first Sunday, this first weekend in Lent, I would encourage you to reread this passage, to hear the call to check your pride, to sit in the uncomfortable place of naming your brokenness, and to claim your freedom that accompanies the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Today, we have heard a story of two rabbis. One was set apart because of the way that he lived his life and saw the world as dirty and broken. And the other, Jesus, made people the priority over rules because he sees the potential of what the restored world could be like. The difference between Jesus and the Pharisee was that Jesus was willing to get his hands dirty in the work of restoration. And so as we study and grow this week, I pray that each of us might be willing to get our hands dirty in a way that claims our freedom and forgiveness and brings that kind of kingdom peace that Jesus models. Amen.